Hey, it's Brittany here. It's early, early in the morning. I just finished my morning routine, like we talked about in last episode. But Caitlin and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We have super high hopes for it. We just know that there are a lot of struggling mothers out there that need these messages and need this voice of hope. So if you found an episode that you really resonated with, would you share it with somebody? That would be so helpful. And leave a review. We would love to hear it. But without further ado, let's get into today's episode.
Welcome to the Mama Retreat, a relatable motherhood podcast where we show you how to have more power, love, and a sound mind as a mother. I'm your host, Brittany Miller.
And I'm your host, Caitlin Clough. We're best friends in the thick of motherhood together. We hope you enjoy your retreat from motherhood today.
Today on the podcast, we have Aubrey Walsh with us. Aubrey is a holistic health professional and an advanced body talk practitioner. She's dedicated the last decade of her life to her own spiritual evolution and self-development through holistic mind-body medicine. It completely transformed her life, and she knew that she was being called to help women, especially mothers, do the same. She is trained in countless holistic and energetic healing modalities, and she loves them all. But once she experienced immediate and tangible transformation through her own body talk session, she knew that she had found her calling, and now she helps hundreds of beings heal trauma from their bodies without years of therapy.
So, Aubrey, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. So, Brittany has had more body talk therapy sessions with you than I have. I've only had one so far, but you do have just a light about you and this energy. I love being in your home. And so I'm really excited for you to be able to share that through this podcast.
One thing I noticed when I met you for the first time was, like, there was so much light in your eyes, and I was just like, I can't even look at her eyeballs. There's so much light.
She's
like,
looking into my soul.
You're looking into my soul. But no, I was just like, they're so beautiful and sparkly that I've noticed that every time. So I just know that you have, like, an intention to do good, and so that's why we're really excited to have you on our podcast today.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that.
You're so sweet.
Absolutely. So let's just dive right in and start with this first question. So what is body talk and how does it work?
So body talk is a truly holistic approach to the treatment of disease. Body talk is a progressive energy medicine modality that combines traditional Chinese medicine, bioenergetic psychology, and epigenetics in order to access the subconscious and reveal the priority path to healing for effective mind-body healing.
I love that. So that is, like, there's so much beautiful, I don't want to, like, say science, but there is so much beautiful science and things to back up holistic healing and body talk. But for someone who's never heard of it before, if you were in an elevator with me for, like, 3 seconds and had that much time to tell me what it was.
So really at the heart of it, what body talk is doing is it's revealing your subconscious blocks to living your authentic life.
Yeah.
And removing them.
I love that.
So how does it work?
During our body talk session, we go over your goals for your mental health and physical health, your family dynamics from past and present, and a lifestyle overview. And then we ask your body, which is also your subconscious mind, so we're asking your body, subconscious mind, what unprocessed traumas or emotions are causing the mental, emotional, physical blocks leading to the disease, and then we release them through breath and tapping.
That's something that I believe personally is that my spirit or my soul and my body combined make up my, like, person and human being.
Yeah.
But it is true, and I've experienced this in my own motherhood, that my emotional difficulties affect my body physically. So I get tired when I'm, like, emotionally at distress, or I get angry. What are some other things? Like, being pregnant is really, really stressful for me, and I think part of it is just I get really, really, really sick when I'm pregnant. And I think part of it is just normal pregnancy. Like, oh, I'm barfing because I'm pregnant. But I think a lot of it is just stress. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my husband likes to say, it's all in your head. And I'm like, I know that some of it is for sure. And, but yeah, I know that my mental state affects my physical body.
Yeah.
And so like you're saying, your physical body is this like manifestation of your subconscious mind.
Exactly. Exactly. So like, yeah, a lot of it is in your head. It all starts in the emotional realm and then it manifests in the physical, in the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of different people talk about how our body holds on to things. Mm-hmm. And something you said there, you take into account your past, like family experiences and your present family experiences and all these different situations. Mm-hmm. And there's things that we have experienced in our past that affect our present.
Uh-huh.
And like some things that you may not even remember, like even like if you had a traumatic birth, like that can affect your body.
Absolutely.
And that is crazy to me to think
it's
about.
It's crazy to think about, but
that there's things that you don't remember. Uh-huh. Like we're triggered by our kids because when we were little kids, maybe our parents taught us it's not okay to cry. And so when our kids cry, whether we're consciously thinking it or not, our bodies are subconsciously like, oh my gosh, this is not okay. They're not supposed to be crying right now. I'm going to be in a state of like anxiety and panic because this poor like inner child is stressed out by the situation.
He's totally wounded.
Exactly. No, and that's like exactly what we work on in Body Talk. Like there's nothing that Body Talk can't help.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally do it for anything. And so that's what we work on is like, really the theory is that everything is neutral. You know, like the baby crying is neutral, but it triggers our belief system and our belief system is the problem. Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about how like the tapping and breathing works and what that does to release?
Yes. Yeah. So basically our bodies have an innate wisdom that knows how to heal itself in all parts of it. So like when you get a cut, you don't have to like tell your body to heal it. You don't even have to do anything, honestly. Yeah. Like we do some extra measures just to support the healing process, but the body knows how to heal it. It doesn't need any external support. With the tapping, what we're doing is we're really just bringing in an intention and focus. And this is where like the quantum physics comes in of like once it really at the base of the atom is just limitless potential. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is I'm using my intention and focus to activate your innate wisdom, to activate that unlimited potential into its highest potential of healing. We'll tap on the parts of the body where that trauma is being stored to help release it. And we tap on the three brains. So Body Talk really recognizes the three brains. And I think this is really the key component that makes a big shift, because we tap on the head brain. So this is where we interrupt the traditional thought pattern that the brain keeps looping on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, hey, like we're going to make a new pattern. So we kind of create a new groove and then we store that with tapping. And then we tap the heart, because the heart sends more information to the brain than vice versa. There's a group, the Heart Math Institute, and they study the bioenergetic field of the heart and the power of it. And they did this study with, they would show people pictures, like a happy picture or a scary picture.
Mm-hmm.
And before their eyes even saw on the screen, the heart would react with fear or love.
What in the world?
And then the brain would respond to that.
That is crazy.
So the heart is like tuned in.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. In a different time frame.
Yeah.
So we tap on the heart to release what's being stored, because we also store all of our emotional experiences, conscious and subconscious there, to release it and then store the new way of being, the new pattern. And then we tap on the gut. And I think that this one's really big. I think this is the part that causes embodiment. So it's the change. That's where we assimilate and digest the change and then like activate it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you're reading a book
and
you have all that knowledge in your head, but then you can't apply it. And you're like, well, why? Like, I just read not to yell at my kid. But now I'm doing it again.
Now I'm yelling at my kid.
Yeah. And so this is really the embodiment part of it that is so transformational.
Yeah. Because if you think of, like, society just kind of tells you to just push through it, mm-hmm. push through whatever you're going through. Mm-hmm. And if you're not making it through
and
it,
not
you're
not, it.
Yeah, you're not, if you're not making it through it, yeah. if you're not healing from it, you're not pushing hard enough. That's kind of the, like, you know, this, like, narrative has been fed to me for so long. Like, just figure it out. And there's a lot more, I don't know, peace that comes from working on things personally and trying to, like, unravel my past or whatever. Just, I don't know. I just like the intention of me doing it on my own and not conforming to what the world tells me that I should do to fix myself, if that makes sense.
Like, I agree with that. I feel like that's, like, kind of what... My tagline is that I help women heal trauma from their bodies without years of therapy, because it just moves so fast when we're working on this energetic level with the subconscious mind. Whereas, like, people can go to therapy. I love therapy. I think it's very, mm-hmm. I'm in therapy, so I'm not saying anything bad about it. I love therapy. I'm just saying that, like, it can help move things real fast without having to talk about it and drudge it up. Yeah. Like, I have a lot of people come to me because they're like, I don't want to talk about my emotions, but I need them out.
Yeah.
And it works really well for them.
Yeah. Especially working with women, I think women have a very strained relationships with their bodies. Societal views on how we should look sparks a lot of women to have this hatred towards their bodies.
Mm-hmm. And even feel. They're just like, don't feel, don't be too extra, don't be too emotional.
Yeah. And so I actually listened to a podcast once, and she was talking about how she had been healing from an eating disorder, and she wrote her body a love letter, mm-hmm. and she, like, shared it on the podcast, and it has really stuck with me. But something that she talked about in this love letter is how our bodies are doing their very best to take care of us, regardless of whether or not we're trying to take care of her, of it. Mm-hmm. And how... Like, yeah, like you said, when you get a cut or when you're sick, like, your body just does what it has to do, and it's breathing and it's pumping that blood and it's doing mm-hmm. everything it can to take care of you because it loves you.
Yeah.
And so I love this idea of our bodies being our subconscious and tapping in with our bodies to get healing, because I think it goes against the grain of how a lot of women feel.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes, absolutely. Like, it is... It's kind of like a yoking of, like, the mind, body, and the soul.
Yeah.
I feel like body talk is. And we were talking, Brittany and I were talking about this earlier with, like, the book, The Body Keeps Score. I can't remember the author's name. But he said in the book that people that go through trauma, and I feel like most people in general now, because we're taught not to feel our feelings, but mm-hmm. to shut them down and turn mm-hmm. them off, that we don't feel our feelings. We don't recognize our emotions anymore. And it turns into body pain.
Yeah.
And so one of my biggest shifts through my commitment to my body talk practice was just that, like, before I had no idea what I was feeling. Like, I could be experiencing something painful and traumatic and just be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then my body would hurt for days and I would just be in bed, like, laid out for days from the pain.
Yeah. Has anyone ever felt physically ill because something's bothering you?
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly... Yeah. On the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, where you're sick or you're...
But you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I love body talk. And even emotion code is a good one. That one's like a good training too, where you can just get in touch with... I want to teach people how to muscle test and, like, get mm-hmm. in touch with their yes and no's so that they can do this themselves. I'm going to be creating an online course.
Okay, you go. Yes. That's exciting.
That's way cool.
Yeah. So I can't wait to share that. But, teaching people how to get their own yes or no's and find out, okay, what emotion is this? Because now I just do it. I do it real quick. I clear emotions real fast for myself without even knowing exactly what's happening. And then I just tap and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling shock. That's what the nausea in my stomach is I'm shocked and I don't even know it. And then you just clear it and move it out. And it just wants to be, this is my favorite thing about, like, emotions, is they just want to be seen. They're messengers. They have a message for you.
Yeah.
They're not trying to
hurt you.
Yeah. They're not trying to make you suffer. They just need to be heard. And as soon as they're acknowledged and witnessed, and then there's room to breathe and move on.
I love that. I remember hearing a thing once too, where you can't, like, selectively numb feelings. Like, if you're going to try and numb hurt and pain and tragedy and all the things that come with that, you're also going to be numbing joy and excitement and mm-hmm. So if we can embrace all of the emotions, whether they're good or bad, we'll be able to feel the joy and all the good times better.
Exactly. Stronger. Yeah, because the pendulum swings both ways, right? So to the degree that you can allow yourself to go through pain is the degree to which you can allow yourself to feel pleasure. And that is the one thing that I work on a lot in Body Talk, is like people who, they kind of have like a pleasure limit of like, oh, I reached my peak happiness, now I have to go back down. So we're really expanding your ability to hold pleasure and how much and for how long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and I hope that's a like a message of hope for people who have had like serious trauma and tragedy in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That if your pendulum can swing that far to that side, then it can also swing that far to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And so there are good times to be had.
That just makes me think of like all the times I've tried to numb bad, quote unquote, bad emotions that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and then I just can't feel anything at all. Mm-hmm. I don't want to love anybody. I don't want to be happy. I just want to sit in my filth and just wallow.
Well, and that is like depression, right?
Exactly.
Where you're like, you're just numb.
Yeah.
Because you're just stuck.
Yeah. So stuck.
That's what Dr. Gabor Mate says, is like when there's too much emotion and not enough ability to feel the emotions, that's when you have stress and depression. Like, anger is there to help create movement. It's telling you that, like, basically your boundaries are being crossed and that you need to move to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And so the best way to process anger that's stuck in your body is through intentional movement.
Oh, wow. That's cool to think about.
Through intentional movement.
Like, actual movement.
Yeah, like, working out, like, with intention.
Yeah.
And let it out there. So it can be boxing or it can be yoga. Yoga is what moved all of my anger out. I went from being a gangster to a spiritual gangster.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I am obsessed.
So when my son is angry, I should teach him to move his body somehow.
Yeah, well that's...
Well, you know what? He's already doing.
He's
already trying to do it.
Stomp their leg.
Yeah, when he gets upset, he's doing this leg stomp right now. Yeah. I was like, where the freak did you learn that? Not on TV, because you watch Moana and that's it. Like, nobody stomps their legs in Moana.
So I'm just like, And so we are taught that it's bad. Like, don't throw a fit. But it's like they're moving that anger out. Oh. And that's why it's getting stuck in our bodies, because we were taught.
Lacey's moving it down to the ground. Get out.
Yes.
And so I'm actually going to ask you for some advice with this. How do you teach them to like do that in a positive way? But those things that our parents taught us and our grandparents taught them was like, don't cry and don't be mad and don't do these things. So you just stifle it and stifle it and stifle it.
Well, even like the take a breath, take a breath. I'm like, they don't want to take a breath right now. Exactly. They're PO'd.
Yeah.
They don't want to take a breath.
So what do you say? You can hit a pillow.
What do you do?
What do you do to help them move that anger out of their bodies?
Well,
or any emotion, really.
I think first, just don't stifle it when they're in it.
Yeah.
Be okay with it. And then when they're not in it, that's when you practice it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and model it. So you have to start it yourself, right? I'm like, I don't know. What do you do when you're mad?
I go hide. So that's the thing. They don't know. They don't know. Or I yell at them.
Yeah. I was going to say, I would yell. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're mad, they yell at me.
I do it too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm also not perfect.
Yeah.
It's because the reason why we yell is because our belief system around their action. Their action is neutral. It's normal. It's what every other kid is doing.
Yeah.
And our society has told us, oh, don't let kids do that. That's bad. That's a bad reflection on you. So then you're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And you're yelling at them because it's triggering a belief system about yourself.
I read a book recently. It's called Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it? It's so good. But the first, like, it's broken into thirds. And the first third is all about, like, you need to heal your own stuff. Because basically, just what we're talking about, everything that your kid is doing is just triggering you, and that's why you're parenting the way that you are. And so if you can get through those triggers and heal your own self, then you'll be able to parent the way that you want to. I'm like, oh, that's not easy.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. So I focus on generational healing too. Mm-hmm. And the belief is that kids are systemic beings until the age of 21. So what that means is their soul's individuality isn't developed until they're 21, where they start living out their own life path, really.
Mm-hmm.
But they're living out you and your family's unprocessed trauma, karma, if you will, whatever you want to call it. your experience. So they're really just mirroring you back to you mm-hmm. all the time. And fun fact, they're actually more impacted by the grandparents and the great grandparents than what you're doing.
I know very little about my grandparents and great grandparents' traumas. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And especially because that generation was like, don't talk about it yeah. ever. And so I'm sure they didn't really talk about it to mm-hmm. my parents, or my parents have just seen it and just either, you know, done away with it or, you know, cut
Stifled
people off.
It down.
Yeah. So
can't talk about it.
And it's like our parents were really trying the best they could. We're all trying to deal with it now. All of us yeah. more woke beings.
Yeah,
we're so woke. We're trying to figure it out. No, but really though, it's just, I mean,
yeah.
there's something about the newer generations that they're just more aware and mm-hmm. and more wanting to be better and mm-hmm. I just believe that God sent the strong ones the last, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just got to save them for the last.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask a question of like, when do you think a mother or a woman should go to, if she's thinking about doing body talk, when should she go? Does she need to wait until she feels ready to do some healing? Should she go when she's in the middle of a crisis? When would be like the best time to say, you know what, I'd like to try to go to body talk or something?
The thing about body talk is it's really deep healing. And what I would say is you can trust yourself. When you feel ready to go, that's mm-hmm. your time to go.
There you go.
If it's been planted in your mind and you're like, oh, shoot, I should go. Don't beat yourself up over that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
trust the timing. Like, it's going to be transformational and your spirit, your highest self knows when the right time is. And so if you do get the calling, like, oh, I should go, then definitely leap on that, you know,
yeah.
and don't let obstacles get in your way, because sometimes the universe or whatever it is,
yeah,
probably law of attraction if you follow that, if
yeah.
if you have some kind of block to growing and shifting, then the mm-hmm. universe, you're going to experience a lot of challenges to getting there.
Yeah.
Especially if it's going to be real transformational.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have been doing this kind of work for over a decade. And I still will be met with resistance when I'm about to go into something that's going to be really transformational. And I'll almost have anxiety about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, why would I be feeling this way? Like, this is kind of scary. But now I've been through it enough that I'm like, oh, it's because my ego is about to die. Another ego death.
R.I.P. to my ego.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Something I feel like I've learned a lot this year is that we can trust our intuition.
Yes.
Yes.
Somewhere down the line, somebody taught us, some societal norm taught us to not trust that intuition. But you can, and right away, I really learned that. Like, this year, I feel like all of the things that I've gone through, I'm just like, I have this intuition that is, like, mm-hmm. so crystal clear,
mm-hmm.
and I just need to listen to that.
Body talk helps with that, too.
Yeah. Getting
more in touch with your intuition. Because what people see in their sessions is they're like, oh, I was just thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking about... Like, somebody was going to meet up with their, like, mother-in-law and that side of the family, and they were stressed out about it, and it came up in their body talk session. And they're like, I was literally just thinking about them, you
mm-hmm.
know, have to go see them. And the body's revealing that. Because it can be really hard to determine, like, is that intuition or is that
yep.
just another thought? Is that intuition or is that fear? And so I find that, like, body talk can help you be like, oh, that's how it feels when I'm having that thought. And that's how I know what intuition is. And another key note that I've noticed with my own intuition is when it's real intuition, it'll say, like, you should turn left.
Mm-hmm.
There will be the you should do this because it's not me
yeah.
talking to me. But then when it's my own thought, I'm thinking an I. Like, oh, I should turn right.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you go.
Just being really aware of hearing your thoughts, becoming the observer of your thoughts.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
I'd be curious to hear if it's the same for you guys.
I know. Well, I feel like that you said that, and I think I have had some experiences that have been like that, but I think it's another one of those things that you have to really practice and to be quiet
mm-hmm.
and to be mindful,
because mm-hmm.
we've talked about this a million times, Brittany and I, how we just don't sit on our front porches and rock in rocking chairs.
Watch the world go by.
We don't. Mm-hmm. We're on our phones. We're listening to the radio. We're watching TV. We're busy, busy, busy all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a million miles per minute of information coming
mm-hmm.
and going.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be listening.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of effort. So another question we have is, what would be one takeaway that mamas could do to help them find and accept the divinity in their calling?
That your passions aren't by accident. They're your purpose, and to follow your passion, and they will lead you back home to your soul. So I think that, especially for moms, we get so caught up in having to take care of everyone and everything around us.
Yeah.
That our passions get put on the back burner like they're optional. And they're not. They're, we need our passion and our inspiration to fill us up, to be able to pour out into people from like a real genuine place.
Yes.
That's what we were talking about earlier.
I was just going to say, you were talking to me earlier about...
That I had found that my antidote to depression, like I wanted to find an antidote emotion to depression, and it's inspiration. So I'll have days where, I haven't had one in a long time, but I'll have days where I'm just really down and just need to be in bed. And if I tap into something that inspires me, like a new body talk training or something that inspires me and lets me know that there's hope, that's all of my healing stuff, like anything healing, I'll be like, I'm tapping into that for sure.
Yeah.
And it just brings me right out. The inspiration just brings me into hope and faith and passion to share that again. Mm-hmm. So I go from being depressed and shutting people out to being like, oh, I'm inspired. Let's talk about this. Let's do this. Like,
yeah.
Let me help let you up again, you know? Yeah.
And I feel similar about myself having to go through a depression, but I think I'm just starting to notice, like looking in hindsight, that I feel like my antidote to depression would be creativity. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I thought I was just kind of using creativity as like a coping mechanism, which it kind of is, but that was like during COVID is when I started making funny reels, because I was like, I'm just making fun of like the crap that I'm going through in motherhood or like just funny things that are happening. But I find that the things that I gravitate to are creative things, because they help me to feel more like myself and feel more whole. And anyway, so now I'm just, when you're saying that, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like a creative person. And that's kind of how I get out of my funk of depression.
I love that. For me, I see, like, for me personally, I would need the inspiration to be able to tap into my creativity.
Yeah, so it's like kind of like a step, yeah.
Going from depressed to creating, I'd be like, I'm not creating. I can't even move.
Okay, yeah. So I get that.
So, but yeah.
Inspiration would be a path to
creation.
Anything. Or, yeah, creation or anything else that you can think of.
Yeah.
We were kind of talking about this before we started recording, but I think that's such a cool quote, because what inspires us is so individual to each person.
Yeah.
And so finding the thing that inspires you, mm-hmm. and taking the time to do it, whether that means that you need to cut things out of your life.
Yeah.
You need to cut things out of your schedule or your kids' schedules. Like, maybe you don't need to do soccer this year.
Yeah.
Or your husband needs to be the one in charge of all of the soccer practice to and fro, or whatever, you know, you'll have to shuffle things around.
So that you can fulfill your passion.
Exactly.
And I think on that note, if you can start your morning, this is going to go into your guys' like morning ritual podcast, but if you can start your morning with it, on that note, then you can, you know, you're going to be fulfilled for the day to fill other people's cups. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting on your phone and scrolling for 15 minutes, the news or your emails or, mm-hmm. you know, mindless TikToks, mm-hmm. or whatever, spend 15 minutes listening to something inspirational. So that's my practice, is I wake up and I instantly go into gratitude. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for my beautiful home and just mm-hmm. all the things I'm grateful for, and try to stay in that as long as I possibly can. And then I have affirmations that I do to keep me connected to the divine and move through my day from the divine and be an expression of the divine. And then I regulate my nervous system. Mm-hmm. It's a non-negotiable. Like, I am not a good mom. That's mostly it. Like, I'm not a good mom if I don't regulate my nervous system first.
Yeah. How do you do that?
So I do that with dry skin brushing. I went through yoga teacher training in 2010, and I learned some of the Ayurvedic practices, which is like dry skin brushing, which it's kind of this coarse, almost like coarse brush that you move up your skin, and like you're moving the lymph. So you're really moving the lymph, which is where we hold a lot of toxicity, mm-hmm. and toxic emotions. So I do that, but I didn't realize that it was helping regulate my nervous system until I realized my son had sensory processing stuff and was learning about some tools for that because he's a seeker and wants to be intense, and I'm an avoider and get really overwhelmed. And so that's why we would clash so much. So I realized I need to regulate my nervous system. If I wake up to him hugging me and kissing me and with his loud voice, like if I wake up to his voice, my ears are ringing and I'm like, oh my, I'm being assaulted. Yes. Just your mere presence.
We were literally recording this podcast last night.
Yep.
Yeah. This was us.
So I realized I have to wake up first and take care of my inner child.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the children, my inner child and my child are fighting all day for attention and being taken care of. So I take care of my
What an interesting way to put that. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah. That's exactly how it, because I feel like a kid. Like, I'm being a child. Why am I arguing about, like, who's going to have the first bite? Like, obviously my child should have the first bite. But if I feel like I haven't been nourished, then I feel like the child that wasn't nourished, you know?
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah. So dry skin brushing, that helps regulate the nervous system. So you're not as sensitive to external stimuli. And then a contrast shower, which is where you do like a hot, cold, and you do like as hot as you can for 3 minutes and then as cold as you can for 1 minute for three cycles. And that really like turns on your metabolism, your circulation. And what I like about it is when you're introducing, you're consciously introducing something that isn't pleasant. It's like working out, like you're consciously introducing something that isn't pleasant. And then holding your peace and your groundedness through it. So, like, throughout the cold, like, you're just, like, staying grounded and breathing.
The cold plunge.
I know.
The cold plunge, yeah.
We have a redneck cold plunge that my husband made. It's legitimately a chest freezer.
Yeah.
He siliconed all of the, like, cracks.
We were in Lowe's looking at him, and he kept getting in and out of these chest freezers to see if it was big enough for him. Because he's 6'5".
Yeah.
Anyways, I was just like, babe, they're going to think we're trying to kill someone and keep him in a freezer.
How many bodies can we fit in the freezer?
But we were really into it this summer. We haven't hardly done it at all recently, but we would just spend the 3 minutes in this cold water, like 45 degrees, and it's teaching your body that I can stay calm and, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to explain it better than I can, but it was for mental toughness more than physical toughness, but it was very physically hard, but the mental benefits were what?
I still can't do it without bawling my eyes out.
You always cry?
Like, no, well, like.
Yes, she does. Bless her heart.
Throw me under the bus.
No, but it probably, I don't know, I'm just like.
I'm just an emotional person. I just get, I'm like physically overstimulated all the time.
That's what I was
going to
say.
It's just an overstimulation. Sure, my body's just like, please, no.
It's your release.
Seriously, though.
I love that.
But when I would feel really overwhelmed, like, it was always, like, right before dinner time. And this summer was so hot, so that really helped. Because our garage was, like, 900 degrees. So it made it a little bit easier. But I would feel, like, really overwhelmed. And I was like, shoot, I have to make dinner. And the kids are loud. And they're starting to get to that witching hour where it's before bedtime. And they're just crying and annoying. And I would just get in there for 3 minutes. And then it was just, like, just the boost that I needed. So I've totally, this, like, cold hot thing, I'm like, I need to try that.
Yeah. Yep. It's a little bit easier than that.
Yes.
And I find that if you do the skin brush first, again, your skin isn't as sensitive to external stimuli, so the contrast shower isn't jarring.
Yeah.
It isn't for me, at least. But when I try to do it without skin brushing, I'm like, oh, this is intense.
Yeah.
But it makes it way more doable.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And then I feel like a champ. I'm like, I'm such a BA.
Yeah.
Like, this cold isn't impacting me at all.
I love that, though.
I'm so grounded.
I am so grounded.
Stoic.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, see, these are all, like, good tools that, like, when you're just in the thick of motherhood and everything is, like, falling down around you, you just don't think of this kind of stuff. So it's, like, good that we're helping other moms, like,
and this could take, like, 15 minutes.
Yes.
You could do that in 15 minutes.
Yes.
True.
That could have changed your whole day.
Yep. Just a little tool for your back pocket.
Yep.
Try it. If you are skeptical, just try it.
Seriously.
Okay, let's see. How has your mothering changed because of your knowledge of body talk?
It's helped me to release triggers that cause unwanted reactions. Because again, that's what we're talking about. Like, their actions are neutral and normal.
Yes.
And it's our belief systems that are causing the unwanted reaction. So really, we're the problem. And that's it. That's my biggest takeaway. Is like, I don't view him as the problem. I'm like, what am I doing? How am I bringing this out? How can I change? And mm-hmm. that gives me more control because I can control myself. I can't control him. It's not my job to control him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it also helps provide me with tools to regulate my nervous system so I can choose how to respond. And it's connected me to God and like my highest self so that I can embody faith and release fearful parenting. I've released depression and anxiety so I can be present with my son and I can help him process his big emotions and potentially traumatic events in the moment. And it's just really helped me embody the truth of my innate worthiness from the divine. And that knowing guides me gracefully through every aspect of my life. Okay, so I have two examples that I want to give about body. Okay. I want to give a ton, actually, because body talk is so abstract that it yeah. really helps to just give, like, specific examples.
Yeah, yeah. That's perfect.
So how I found body talk is I had really bad anxiety and depression when I moved to Denver from Wyoming. And I had found essential oils and realized how much those were helping me. And I got really into like holistic health and anything mystical. I was like, oh, I love all this. Like, yes. Teach me everything. I want to experience it all. And so when I moved to Denver, I was like looking up holistic remedies for depression and anxiety. And some body talk lady popped up in Boulder, Colorado. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I could feel that it was a yes.
Your intuition.
Yeah, my intuition. It was like, yeah. And so I went, and she didn't even do, like, a big thorough intake like I talk about that mm-hmm. we do. And I just said, I have anxiety. I just have anxiety. And we didn't say anything else, really. She just started muscle testing me and asking my body yes or no questions. And then my body revealed to her that 6 months in the womb, my mom experienced a situation where I almost died. And that is true. Like, I had forgotten about that. I didn't even remember. My mom told me that one time when I was, like, 7 or 8, which mm-hmm. is when I feel like I learned most of the traumatic stuff about my life, and then my body started hurting really bad.
Yeah.
It's like, Mom, I feel like I'm 80. My spine hurts all the time. And she's like, don't, that's weird. Don't say that. Don't put that curse on yourself. I'm like, I haven't. It's already there. Like, I feel that. So yeah, I did. I almost died in the womb, and or she thought I was going to. Either way, it mm-hmm. was like, that was the truth in my cells. And so I was mm-hmm. resonating at that fear on a cellular level, and it would just get triggered. And don't know exactly what the triggers were, but either way, it was getting triggered. And this is what I love about my belief system around triggers. It's like it helps you be empowered by them, I think, is that my belief is that like you have these core wounds inside of you, and then the universe and the people in your universe trigger them, not to hurt you, but to show you that that wound is still there. So that you can heal it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a gift. And then you can thank the people that are triggering you and hurting you for showing you that you still have that wound and it's yours to heal. We release that through the active memory technique, which is kind of like Body Talk's version of EMDR therapy, mm-hmm. which is big in traditional psychology.
Yeah.
And we released it. And I pulled out of the parking lot and I almost got hit by a car because I'd be driving crazy.
Not anymore. Not that I'm a mom, but back then. Back when you were just a gangster, not a spiritual gangster.
Yeah, when I was just like a young gangster and just thought I ran the world and was, you know, yeah. indestructible. So I almost got hit by a car and I was like, oh my God, I almost died. And then I was like, just drove off. And I was like, wait, like you realize that you almost just died and you're not freaking out. Because I had a phobia mm-hmm. around dying.
Mm-hmm.
It would paralyze me. Like, I couldn't go to school. I couldn't stay at friends' houses.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go anywhere because I thought I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my anxiety. Like, I would go to the nurse all the time and be like, I'm dying. And she's like, Aubrey, you're kind of... She told me, I remember I was in second grade, and she's like, Aubrey, you're like the boy who cries wolf. Like, one day you're going to come in here and something's going to be really wrong with you and I'm not going to believe you. Because mm-hmm. I was just like a complete hypochondriac. To the max. And so after that one session, it was my first and only one that I did, I was cured from my phobia of dying and my panic attacks about dying.
Wow.
Cured. I didn't have one till I got pregnant 4.5 years later. And then it just brought up all that traumatic, mm-hmm. all the trauma that I hadn't processed yet. So it was a gift to continue to process all my childhood trauma.
Yes.
What a gift. Thank you, Calvin Buckley. That's what kids are for.
Yes. Yeah. For real, though.
Yeah. Seriously.
If you ever want to heal from trauma,
have a child. It will stare at you in the face. All your trauma will come up again.
Yeah. But the good news is I worked through it again.
Yeah.
You know, and the fear of dying is not there again. So there's, I love that that there's a tool. And then after I had Calvin, I was having like postpartum anxiety where I would have all those negative, like just kind of those scary thoughts about like, what if I'm carrying my baby in this baby carrier and I trip down this flight of stairs and I smash him to death?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, what if I just dropped this baby in the snow and left them there? Why would I do that? I don't know. But you know what? What would happen if I did?
I was standing on a bridge one day taking a picture with him and I was like, what if I just threw him off? And I'm like, what?
I know.
And that's so scary.
And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm a horrible person because who would ever think that? Yeah. And then if you ever bring that up to somebody, they're like, why would you ever think that, you horrible person? And then,
like, truly, like, are you going to tell his dad that you just thought that, or is he going to take your child away from you?
Yep, nope.
And then there's fear about that too.
Same. Been that down that road.
Yeah.
Been down intrusive that road. Thoughts.
Intrusive thoughts.
So what happens if I crash this car and everyone burns to death? I don't know. Let's not find out.
So I got a BiTalk session on that and released that. And then I didn't have those intrusive thoughts anymore.
That's great.
So it's just like my magic tool that I go to for anything that is wrong. But I wanted to share, because I love working with moms and pregnant moms, because babies are really energetic beings. And so they're super receptive to body talk, and things shift for them really fast. And there, I had like two miraculous experiences that still kind of blow my mind. Like, did that happen? Was that just a coincidence?
Yeah.
Right? But I had a client friend who had two kids, then two miscarriages, and they got pregnant again, but was just tore to pieces from the miscarriages.
Yeah.
And she was in the last trimester with her final baby, and they did one of the last ultrasounds and discovered a hole in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me, and she was crying, and she was worried. And I was like, let's do a body talk session.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what had happened was the mom had a metaphorical hole in her heart from losing the babies, right? Like, there was a hole in her heart from the babies that she didn't get to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the baby in her stomach was mirroring that back to her, had a hole in his heart. So we healed the mama's heart and cleared that emotion. And then the baby's heart healed, and the baby's had no, there was, they did a screening on it when he was born, and he's perfectly fine, and he's still perfectly fine to this day.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, well, that could be a coincidence. But then I had another friend reach out to me in Wyoming, so I can do distance sessions also. And she was in her last trimester, did one of the final ultrasounds, discovered one of the kidneys was inflamed or enlarged.
One of her kidneys?
One of the baby's kidneys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we did a body talk session on it. And again, the baby was just mirroring some unprocessed stuff going on in the parents' lives. And we cleared that, and the kidney healed and is perfectly fine. She has no issues.
Wow. So like, that is amazing.
Like, I really believe that our souls and our bodies are, I mean, they're connected.
Yeah.
They just mirror one another and...
Well, something I was even raised to believe that we were created spiritually before we were created physically.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everything was.
I agree with that,
like, the earth, like, everything around us has been created spiritually.
Well, and we see that to this day. Like, we couldn't have this microphone if someone didn't think, I want this kind of microphone.
Yeah.
The thought happened first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you speak it, and then you create it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it doesn't surprise me to hear these, like, miracle stories, because... our spirits are so strong. And so, when our bodies are physically not well, our spirits are not well, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really amazing.
And same with our kids, right? Like, this is why I originally went through all this training to work with kids, because I wanted to do, I care about preventative healing and preventative health. And I'm like, then we start with the kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stop the trauma before it starts.
Yeah.
So I realized I need to work with moms. Because moms are the foundation of the home. Like, if the mom is unwell, the kids are absorbing that and mirroring that back. And same with the partners. Like, the partners and the kids can't thrive if the mom isn't thriving. So,
no pressure.
Seriously, no. I know.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You're so important.
Yeah. And that, like, really, just, like, our kids are truly just here to help us heal. Yeah. They're just reflecting back to us, like, here's where we can improve.
And if you can really believe that, like, how will your mindset change towards your kids?
Absolutely. See them with so much more love and appreciation.
Yeah. Like, they, this little being is here to help me.
Yeah. It's true.
That makes me want to go hug my babies.
Mine will be sleeping when I can.
I know mine better be sleeping, but I'll hug them in the morning.
In my generational ancestral healing, like crystal healing training that I went through, she says, kids love us more than we love them. Mm-hmm. Kids love their parents more than we love them. And that blew my mind because I was like, what? Like, I thought that we had the unconditional love and, like, you know, we love them so much we would, like, literally die for them. So to hear that a kid actually loves their parents more, and it's true. It's just in such a different way. Like, they take on all this stuff for us.
Mm-hmm. And, well, that's how you hear kids that are, like, abused still would choose their parents, stay with their parents over, you know, living with someone else or whatever until they're able to process that. But, which is heartbreaking, but, I mean, it makes sense.
The love is so strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's ask our last question because I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about this.
Okay.
As you know, and as our listeners know, that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, is like the backbone of this podcast. And so we wanted to ask you how body talk can help mothers feel more power, love, or a sound mind, or a combination of any of those in their motherhood.
I feel like that's the epitome of what body talk has done for me and my clients.
Yeah.
But basically, body talk helps women reconnect to their peace and their power by removing the emotional baggage that is causing the suffering, such as depression, anxiety, overreacting, emotional instability, and most importantly, the outdated masks and belief systems and coping mechanisms that we adopted in order to survive our childhood. And it brings you back to your center, your authenticity, and your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to navigate this life, you know?
Yeah.
So
you would just say a combination of all three. It just bring all of those and dispel fear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like what you said too about just, I mean, we've talked about it so much already, but just ridding ourselves of those ideas that we have that were taught to us, whether by our parents or society or everything. Whoever,
mm-hmm.
and being able to just dispel that and say, like, this is my authenticity as a mother, and this is what my values are and my core beliefs, and being able to lead with that instead of what others think you should be doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, the programming is so deep that they have no idea that they're even doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it starts with questioning. And kids are so good at this, right? They'll help us realize, like, I've never thought about why we do that. Like, they'll be like, why are we doing that? And you're like, I don't know.
Just do.
That's just what we've been doing. And so then you start to think about, like, well, why am I doing that? Is that what I really want to be doing? Is that, or am I just on autopilot here with these programmings? And so, body talk is so powerful for, like, bringing up the things that we haven't even thought about. Like, you guys have experienced, you're like, whoa, I don't know. I haven't even thought about that. I'm gonna have to process that, right?
Yeah.
And then it starts to reveal more truth and you see more clearly and you can just get more in touch with who you really are rather than who the world has, like, told you to be.
Where can you find a body practitioner, but also, like, give yourself a little shout out too?
Okay. I obviously would love to work with anyone who feels aligned with me and called to do so. And so you can go to my website, aubreywalsh.com. That's AubreeWalsh.com. And you can book directly on there and I can do distance sessions. So we can do on the phone or we can do a video call. I can also just, like, record it and send it to you for busy moms. That works really well. I do usually like to have, like, a some real connection for, like, the first one, at least. But if you prefer to have one in person, you can find someone in your area. If you go to bodytalksystems.com and click on practitioners, and you can find someone local there, and then just trust your intuition of who to go to.
Because it might be something like going to therapy, where maybe you don't really jive with somebody.
Exactly.
But at least you know that, like, you are setting the intention of healing and changing and growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to have great experiences regardless, but try somebody out. If you don't jive with them, go see someone else. Like,
or call Aubrey.
Or call Aubrey. Yeah. It's like, it'll be good. But remember that your intention of healing is always going to come through no matter what. Mm-hmm. So.
And yeah, and that trusting whatever the priority, body talk helps you heal on a priority basis. So you could go in with being like, I want to work on my relationship with food. But your body could be like, well, we're actually going to work on your self-worth first. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's at the root of it, right?
So, yeah.
It's a priority base. And so you can just trust that really. And whatever body talk practitioner you get is going to be a different flavor, right? Like, mm-hmm. I focus so much on authenticity and freedom of expression and embodiment because those are things that I'm naturally really good at. And my energy naturally evokes that out of people. So if that's something you want, you know, yeah. And just like freedom of expression, then I'm a good one for that. But then there's going to be other people who are really good at like maybe more physical pain. Like there's people that mm-hmm. are even physical therapists that mm-hmm. are trained in body talk. And so if you're like, I really want to work on my knee pain, then you might want to go with someone like that or, you know.
Yeah.
So just trusting the process that you're going to end up with whoever you really need to be with.
Thank you for sharing. And thank you for being with us. We just have had a joyous experience.
The best time.
The best.
Thank you.